question today is, what keeps you from quitting the ministry? This is the fourth part of this question. It's a good question. I used the scripture, Proverbs 29:18 said, where there's no vision, the people perish. And of course, we're talking about that. We're talking about a mental sight, using it for a pretext, I guess you could say, for us to understand if we need to see something that would keep us from perishing. Now, the word perish can mean to let go, to let loose. You see, if we don't get sight of some things, we'll let go, throw in the towel and quit. And by the grace of God, I don't want to do that. Now, I want to say, none of us will know what we'll do till we're faced with the situation, so we don't need to be bragging like Peter was and said, I won't deny you, Lord, because before the morning came, 3 o'clock in the morning, as a matter of fact, Peter had already denied him 3 times, and so he'd gone again. But by the grace of God, I don't want to quit. And that's because I've seen something. Well, I've seen someone. I've seen the Savior. I think about the Savior. I think about his journey. Traveled further than any missionary. Came to this earth robed in flesh. I see his job, how he was scrutinized, how he suffered and he sprinkled his blood. He was seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I see his joy set before him. Now, the cross wasn't joy, but the joy was set before him. Then when I see the saints, I see those who've gone home, those who are helpful, those who are hungry, those who are hurting. And it says, if I quit, they'll quit. And I want to keep on going by the grace of God. Then I said, when I see the sinner, and think about the eternality of the soul. When God created Adam, his soul became a living soul. It's going to live somewhere forever, have eternal consciousness. And so therefore, I said I want to keep on going because of the eternality of the soul. I think about the essentiality of salvation. All the blinded minds, the hearts that's hardened today, and the deception, deceived hearts. And it causes me to say, hey, by the grace of God, I want to keep on going. I want to keep heralding forth truth so that God can use that to prick hearts and plow the soil, make it good ground. And then I think of the equality of salvation. Makes no difference who they are, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in His sight. The ground's level around the cross. So that I need to keep on going. So when I see the sinner, it says I need to keep on. And then another reason that helps me to keep on going or not quit, in other words, is when I have another vision or another mental picture, I guess you could say, mental image, and that's when I see Satan through the Scripture and realize he's a deceiver. The Bible says in John 8:44, as Jesus told these people here, he said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So therefore, he's a liar. You see, he'll lie to you about sin. When I see him lying to you about sin, it says, hey, I want to keep on hurling forth truth. I want to cry aloud, as Isaiah 58:1 says, and spare not, and lift up my voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. You see, he'll say, sin won't hurt you. One drink won't hurt you, but one drink will lead to more. One joint won't hurt you, but it'll cause you to be hooked, and he'll have you right where he wants you. He'll say it'll be all right to tell a little white lie, but you'll wind up being a chronic liar. You see, he uses the same channel of sin that he used on Eve in the garden and that he tried to use on Jesus there when he was tempted those 40 days. 1 John 2:16 lists those channels. And you say, well, why didn't he come up with something new? Well, it still works. Why should you come up with something new? He said in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. They all lead to sin, and sin is sin. There's no big sin and little sin. It's all sin in God's sight, in other words. And all is a result of the root problem, and that's the problem of unbelief. And the devil don't want you to deal with unbelief. You're going to have to let the Holy Spirit deal with your unbelief, the root problem, if you ever get saved. That's what he convicts you of. That's what you've got to repent of, that you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Satan never told the truth about sin. He'll lie to you. And sin will carry you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. So Satan will lie to you about sin. When I see that, I say, help me, Lord, not to quit. When he'll lie to you about self, he'll try to get you to one extreme or the other. He'll tell you how good you are. He'll lift you up with pride. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, though, he says, there's, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. in verse number 12 said, there's none that doeth good, no, not one, not one, he said. And so therefore, he'll lie to you and say, you're pretty good, you'll make it, folks. Your goodness, there's none. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, Ephesians 3:9 says, you see, but it's by the grace of God. He'll lie to you about self, tell you you're how good you are. If he can't get you to believe that and lift you up with pride, he'll tell you how sorry you are. I want to tell you something. Now, I know there's nothing good in none of us. I understand that. And there's not a spark of divinity in any man, as some people try to teach you. But I want to tell you, you're not an uh-oh with God, you see. But he'll lie to you and say you're no good. Listen, Jesus died for whosoever. And that's you. He's the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Your sacrifice, substitute, and mercy seat. I don't care who you are, which side of the tracks you're on, or how deep in sin you've gone. If he saved Legion, there's hope for you, if you please. And so if he saved the woman at the well, there's hope for you. He'll lie to you about sin. He'll lie to you about self. He'll lie to you about salvation. He'll try to tell you that there's some other way. And you can go, and then you've heard people make this statement. They'll say, well, we're all trying for to the same place. I've got news for you. There's no trying. You keep a trying, you'll wind up in hell. You see, Satan will carry you to the extremes if he can. He'll cause you to worship idols, to bow down to some idol, or he'll cause you to try to work out your own salvation, such as being baptized. Some people say, well, you've got to be baptized to be saved. Folks, baptism's a work. That's not salvation. That doesn't wash away your sin. If it did, I'd hate to be the old cow drinking the water downstream from where you was baptized. You see, he'll tell you living good. There's none good. No, not one. He'll tell you to keep the commandments. You've broken all 10 of them, and it didn't matter if you just broke one. I mean, I use the expression, if the horse is in a field with 10 gates and you let one gate open, the horse gets out. If you let all 10 gates open, the horse is out. And you're a sinner. You've broken the commandments. You've broken them all. But you see, he don't care if you believe the basic truths with your mind. He'll let you go so far just as long as he can deceive you and make you think salvation is just saying some prayer, just quoting this after me, as some people are used of the devil to tell you. I have many evangelists today to try to tell you, raise your hand, repeat after me, and then if you prayed that prayer, you're saved. That's not Bible. That's not God. That's Satan lying to you through that man. It's because he's deceived. He's leading you astray and trying to deceive you, and both are blind. You go both fall in the ditch one day. You see, he'll get you to try to bypass repentance. You'd be surprised how many Baptists today don't even believe in repentance. But Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. You see, if you can bypass repentance and lordship, you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell with him. Lies, lies, lies. That's what he'll do. So I plead the blood upon him. I plead the blood over this radio broadcast, because he'll try to lie to some of you, get you to turn off that button and not listen to this preacher that's trying to tell you the truth. You see, I don't want to quit, because I was deceived for so long. And I know how easy it is to be in that rut, if you please. And folks, I want to tell you, but now God has done something. He's given me some things. That's not anything new. It's just the old past. And he's shared some truth with us. And I want to warn others about old Satan and all his tactics. He'll try to tell you there's some other way. Be like a boy in a building in a second story window. And they had underneath the net or the catcher, whatever they used, the fireman had to catch the boy on. And they said, jump. Jump, you've got to jump. The stairs are burning down. There's no other way out of that building. And the daddy was pleading with the boy, but the boy just couldn't turn loose of the window sill and jump just a few feet, if you please. He was just afraid to let go. And he finally turned and said that, and went back to the fire. But just before he did, he said, I'll find some other way. But there is no other way. There's only one way. Jesus said in John 14:6 unto this individual, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans 1:16 said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. That's found in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. But it includes also the virgin birth, the sinless life, because if Jesus hadn't have been virgin born, he wouldn't have qualified as our sin bearer on the cross of Calvary. If he hadn't lived a sinless life, he wouldn't have fulfilled the law. And he wouldn't have qualified as our sin bearer. But oh, he did those things that we might have life. And therefore he qualified. And that is the gospel. Not only, and then of course the vicarious death, which means the substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary. There was no other way. The wages of sin is death. He could have chosen any vehicle, but he chose the way of death out of this world because he took my sin upon him and died for my sin and your sin. And of course he was buried. He arose again the third day, over victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He ascended up on high. This part of the gospel. He also is has a ministry of intercession right now, praying for us today. He prayed for us on the cross. He prayed for us on the way to the garden. He prayed for you. He's praying for you right now that you might be saved. He's not willing you perish, but that you come to repentance. And one day, he's bodily coming back again. We may not all understand all the things around his second coming. We may not have all that right from time, and people do not. It's not time to have it all begin to fit in place. But as God begins to put things in place, we'll have more things in place about the second coming. But if you deny he's bodily coming back again, you're not saved. There's no way you can be saved because that's part of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And the Bible said in Galatians chapter 1, Paul said this to the Galatian church in verse 8 and 9, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." In other words, there is no other way but God's way. Listen, this is the gospel you've got to preach. And Paul writing this, and God's word puts it down to show us that even in the end time when angels will be flying through space, I believe, preaching the gospel, messengers of God. I don't know who all they might be. They may be literal human beings. I know the two witnesses are going to be flying through, but they're not going to preach a different gospel. Man's been saved from Adam to the end of time by grace through faith, all together around the cross. Some look forward, some look back. "Abraham rejoiced to see my day," Jesus said, and he saw it, and he was saved. Genesis 15:4-6 there, when he was saved by the grace of God. Righteousness put on his account because he saw more than Isaac that day. He saw the Lord Jesus, something about the Messiah coming, if you please, at that time. Well, the thing about it is Satan will want you to quit. He'll try to get you to quit. He'll tempt you to do it. He's worse than a rattlesnake. And I want to warn you about a rattlesnake. If I didn't warn you about a rattlesnake then at your front door and I knew about it and you got bit, I'd be a sorry lot. So by the grace of God, I want to continue. I want to keep on keeping on warning you because I've seen something. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.